text this morning, I'd like to read from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and beginning with the first verse and reading through the 11th verse. It's Philippians chapter 2, and beginning with the first verse, and reading these words in Jesus' name. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let's turn to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for these words. Holy God, that the message that comes through from these is love and compassion and care for one another. So, Father, we ask that we would continually be reminded of that as we walk and as the days progress and as you give the hours. We ask, O God, that we would be concerned for one another and that we would watch over each other. Father, these words are indeed true because you are true. In Jesus' name, amen. I kind of tied our scripture verses into this text, and in such a way that our scripture verses are a result of faith. Here the Apostle Paul, he writes, he says, if there be therefore any consolation or any encouragement, I guess if you will, in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Comfort of love. Who can deny or who can say that, whether it be through spiritual love that we sometimes will experience from time to time, or at least I have and I'm sure you all have in some form or another, or even in the physical love, where you feel love and compassion for a loved one, whether it's mom or dad or husband or wife or children or whatever it happens to be, there is a comfort involved with that. And it feels good. It feels wonderful. So if there's any consolation or if there's any comfort in Christ, he says, if there is any comfort, there is comfort in Christ, because that's what he is. Christ is salvation. And that salvation that he offers to us is comfort, knowing that we will end up to be with him at one time. So if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, walking in communion with one another, walking in relationship with one another. He says, fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. You know, that's really the only way that we can deal with one another, or not, I guess really maybe saying deal isn't the right word, that we would associate. Because if we have the same, if we are like-minded in an issue, on an issue, there's no arguments, there's no strife, there's no walking away. There's no bad thoughts. Fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love. We have that like mind here even this morning because we all have that same salvation and we all trust in that same Savior. We are like-minded in that respect. Yes, sometimes there's issues that come up and, you know, we may not actually always agree with them. But are we always right? Are we always the one that I'm right, you're wrong, end of discussion? No, it doesn't work that way. There is not a person walking on the face of this earth today that can say that. You may have an opinion, you may have an understanding, but that doesn't necessarily make you right. Or the situation that you are facing may dictate that you have to be a certain way or do a certain thing. But in this case, the Apostle Paul is talking about walking that Christian walk. Be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord and of one mind. Walking that same path and acknowledging that it is faith in Christ that is our salvation. And then he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. It's not really easy to do. That term vainglory, where he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, strife being I'm right, you're wrong, and end up with a big argument. But vainglory literally translates to a cheap desire to be boastful. That's not a good place to be. That's not a good place at all. In 1 Peter, he writes in reference to this verse, chapter 5, actually verses 5 through 7. He says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. God doesn't want us to be a proud heart. God doesn't want us to be right in earthly matters, I guess, if you will. Not that it's a terrible thing, but his focus is on our salvation. His focus is on us being in faith. He says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And that verse says, casting all your cares on him. What does it mean? Kind of give over the things that I can't control and take care of the things that I can? No. No. That term all that's in there means exactly that. All. There is the portion of scripture says that we should glorify God in all things, not just in the things that we feel we can handle. We should glorify him in everything, even the small ones, the little tiny ones, the little bitty ones. So, well, that's not a big deal. I can handle that. That's no problem. Oh boy, that's a dangerous path to go down. That's a tough one to go down. Because boy, you can stumble and fall and land flat on your face, and then you're going to really have a mess. No. Give God the glory that he so richly deserves. Give him everything. And it doesn't matter the size, it doesn't matter the issue, it doesn't matter anything like that. Give him the glory. Have the lowliness of mind and letting each of us esteem the other better than ourselves. It's not real easy to do. And yet, when we look at one another, we see that they're there and ready to help. For the most part, if there's an issue, they're ready. And they are able to do things that we might not be able to do. But always carry them in a loving and a compassionate way. Continue to love them and continue to have compassion on them and they on you. To esteem the other better than yourself. That's giving up something. That's giving up of yourself. That's not hanging on to a little bit of it and saying, well, yeah, I don't want to give all of that up because that would mean I'm not as good as I think I am. So what? Who cares? Just because you don't think you're better than you think you are, that's not a bad thing. That's an open door for God to come in and take care and show you what you're supposed to do. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Notice there's one little word in there. And I've heard this verse quoted before. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. And that little term also is left out. God doesn't want us to just look to everyone else and help them out without taking care of our own stuff. We have our own things that need to be taken care of, and that's not terrible. That's not something that we ignore. But nor do we also ignore the things that our brother or sister has to go through. So you work together. It's kind of a unity. Look not every man unto his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Take care of yourself. When that walk of faith, when you're walking in Christ, constantly having to look after it and being making to praying unto God, but also pray for those who are having issues or problems. Helping them out in that way. Lest this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let that mind be there. Let it be part of you. Let it be a portion of you that you would continually, each and every day, that you would look. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is how Jesus lived. These first four verses. That's how Jesus lived. And the Apostle Paul is saying that we should be living the same way. And then he goes on and he says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. There's a lot of confusion about that. And there's so many people that, or there are some people that would have a difficult time with it. But you see, Jesus didn't come upon this earth to be God. He didn't come upon this earth to be the ultimate ruler. No. He came upon this earth to be, as it says in that next verse, but made himself no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Scripture talks a lot about Christ being here in the form of a servant in various ways. But have you ever really sat down or have you ever really thought about that? You know, we talk about Jesus being our salvation, and he is. We talk about him dying for us, which he did. We talk about him rising again, which he did. We talk about our faith in him, which will one day award us heaven, which it does. But have you ever really thought, sat down and just really, really thought about the fact that Jesus came here to be a servant, and he tells us that we need to be the same. And that's what that the first four verses reflect. To be a servant to each other, to serve each other. To sit and talk and think about that, it brings him down. Gosh, I gotta try to make sure that I say this right. It brings him to a level of mankind where there was nothing to boast about. And yet he was God. But that's not the reason why he came. That's not the reason why he came down here to take upon himself our sin. And that alone, just that act alone, take upon himself the sin that we live in, is an act of a servant. That's what he was. He made himself no reputation. He emptied himself, and he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He appeared to be man. He had the appearance of mankind as he walked upon this earth. Scripture says that there was no comeliness about him, which, you know, that was a term that I'm sure that was used back in the day, but there was nothing special about him. He was a man just like so many of the others that walked on the road. That was around in the cities. It's no different. So he really was, as far as anybody just looking at him in a physical way, he was just another man. But he humbled himself. He humbled himself before God and before all of us. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. And he became obedient to what God wanted him to do. I've often thought, or from time to time have thought, all right, Jesus was separated. He was man, but he was true God. So because he was true God, did he know about actually what he was going to have to go through? Yes, he did. Did he really know the pain and the suffering that he was going to have to go through? Yes, he did. Did he go through it willingly? Yes, he did. Although he did pray in the end at the garden that he prayed to God, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Why? Because he knew what he was going to have to go through. He knew the pain, the suffering, the scourging, all of the things that he had to go through. He knew it. And he became obedient unto death. And even unto the death of the cross. And then he says that God gave him a name, or God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That's hard for a human to understand, but not for a Christian. Not for a Christian who knows Christ by faith. And they know where he sits today. They know that he sits on God's right hand. We know that he sits there. One of the things that really encourages me so much from time to time, especially going through a tough time, is a part of Scripture where it says that he is interceding for us. He knows. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we have to go through. He knows the trials, the struggles, all of the things that are bothering us. And he intercedes for us. He intercedes before God for us. And I've said it before, I just picture him saying, looking at God and say, I paid for that. It doesn't happen. I'm not saying that that's what's going on. But for me, I look at that and I think, God, my Savior loves me that much that he is interceding for me when I stumble and fall and do something dumb that is not right. And he intercedes. And in essence reminds God that that has been paid for. That's what he does. He does for all of those who believe and trust. And then he says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth. It pretty much covers it. When Jesus comes back on that last day, when he comes down and he's we see him appearing in the clouds in the eastern skies, nobody's going to be able to stand in front of him. No one's going to be able to stand before him and defend themselves, if you will. No, all we're going to be able to do is humble our hearts and bow before him, because he is the Creator and he is the one who will lead us to heaven and will invite us in. All things, everything should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Just covers it all. There's nothing that will be left out. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you think that those who are not walking in faith will confess that Christ indeed is Lord? I don't know. I can't answer that. I would think they would, but I don't know. They will recognize, I think they will recognize who Jesus is, and will look upon their past life. And as scripture said, too late, or the songwriter says, too late, too late. It's over. So what is the reward? What is the reward by walking in this faith, living the life that Jesus lived, as we looked about in the first four verses here? So what are we going to get out of it? We've already talked about it somewhat, but that's where our scripture verses come in, as far as, at least for me anyway. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. The world is not going to be pleasant or not going to be kind to us. We will be made fun of. We will be chastised. We will be mocked. But nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful, marvelous thought. There is nothing upon the face of this earth, no situations, nothing that can separate us from God's love. Because why? Because we have faith in what he did for us. And because of that faith, we have salvation. And because of that salvation, we will be with God forever in glory. Praise be his name for that. Thank him for all that he has done for you. And look to him for all the guidance and strength that you need. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this. We thank you, God, that you've loved us that much. We thank you, God, that you overlook our infirmities, you overlook our issues, but only because we have that faith, and only because of what your Savior or what your Son did for us. Father, you loved us so much that you sent him. You gave up your Son, and that because we believe, you have promised that one day we will be with you. Lord, we thank you for that. And now, Father, we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, to lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.